and Diva's Cabinets. The local pros.
Mandina's Cabinets in Anderson designs custom kitchens, bathrooms, and offices that no big box store can match. They are the local pros who know.
Mandina's Cabinets. The local pros who know. Mandina's Cabinets. The local pros.
530-365-8108 or visit mandinascabinets.com.
As we all get older, the one constant thing is the aggressive, excessive mail and advertising for Medicare, Medicare supplements, and Medicare Advantage. And almost every one of them is a call center with no idea of what you really need. Siskiyou Insurance has an agent that deals with nothing but Medicare issues and can explain the differences clearly between a Medicare supplement and Medicare Advantage. Call Greg Green at Siskiyou Insurance at 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
From the historic campus of Hillsdale College in Hillsdale, Michigan, where the good, the true, and the beautiful are taught, nurtured, and honored, this is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour, bringing the activity and education of the college to listeners across the country.
I do think there's a tendency post 2020, when so many public institutions failed us, there is a tendency to assume that every single person is not telling you the truth, but I can see that it's a very tough job for people to try to figure out what's real and what's not.
This is your host, Scott Bertram. Welcome to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. That was Mary Catherine Hamm, host of the Getting Hammered and Normally podcasts, also a writer at Fox News and Outkick. We'll go in depth with her on a number of subjects in just a moment. Also, later on in today's program, Ben Beyer from Hillsdale's Education Department will discuss the new online course, Classical Logic and Rhetoric. First, we're joined by Mary Catherine Hamm. She's the host of a couple of podcasts, Getting Hammered, and Normally. You can find her writing in places like FoxNews.com, Outkick, and elsewhere, also on X at MK Hammer. And she is our Pulliam Fellow this term here at Hillsdale College, giving a public lecture here and teaching some of our journalism students. Mary Catherine, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
Good to have a discussion. You've been doing lots of things in media for lots of years, starting in blogging, television, writing, podcasting. Does it feel the same? Does it feel like things have shifted substantially underneath you, or do you still feel like you're doing similar things to 15 years ago?
Well, the format keeps changing, but I am comfortable with change. And I think that's one of the things that prepares you for a media career if you want to attempt one, because the landscape is going to shift in large ways while you're doing it. I think certainly in my arc of 20 years, I came out of school and got a job fairly easily as a daily newspaper reporter in a small town in America. That is not a job, unfortunately, that really exists anymore, except on very rare occasions. And I think it's a really good job for journalists to have, because you have to plug yourself into a new community. You have to be a jack of all trades. You have to lay out pages and go to the courthouse and make friends with cops and all of the things. And you don't have that job anymore. And I think that is a problem, because journalists need a way station where they have to do stuff like that instead of going straight from an elite university journalism school, for instance, to an elite newsroom.
Yeah.
You miss a lot of the steps in there. So I mourn that that does not exist anymore. And I think you have to find other ways to be in touch with the audience you're supposed to be covering if you don't get to do that part of it. So that part's obviously changed, and you have to be more proactive about making sure that you know what you're talking about.
In this new media environment landscape, do you think to the consumer that credibility means the same thing that it used to? Or is it now, oh, this person is the loudest, has the most clicks, has the most followers, therefore he or she must be credible?
Yeah, it depends, because I think, yes, there are many things incentivize being louder or more extreme. That's just real. You know, if I were on X ranting more frequently or more crazily in either direction, by the way, I could go left or I could go right, I would get more clicks and I would get more money and I would get more notice. And there's various places I've worked where I knew, you know, if I toe this line, I'll get more opportunities, right? So credibility to me as someone in the industry, and something I think that students need to think about if they go into it, is I had to set up guardrails for myself. And I always thought, well, I'll be very flexible on the way I deliver what I'm producing, but I will not be flexible about my own values and telling the truth and trying to be an honest broker. Now, I'm an honest broker with a point of view, but I make that clear to people as I'm doing it. I do think there's a tendency post 2020 when so many public institutions failed us and were not credible. There is a tendency to assume that every single person is not telling you the truth, and that can become a problem in and of itself if you go all the way to the other end. But I concede that it's a very tough job for people to try to figure out what's real and what's not. That is actually becomes a vocation for anyone who wants to be a civically engaged person and takes up quite a bit of time. And you want to find those people who aren't necessarily extreme, will tell you the truth, will sometimes tell you things you don't want to hear. I think that's an important part of the practice as well, is to proactively test your own priors and have people either in your circle or in your algorithm that are telling you things you're like, that's not in my gut. I'm not agreeing with that, but let me explore it. Right. That makes you a stronger thinker. And you want to look for those media figures who don't, who surprise you, frankly.
Mary Catherine Hamm is with us. Find her on X at MK Hammer. Two podcasts you host, Getting Hammered and Normally. I want to talk about each of them, actually, because they're different. Getting Hammered, Vic Mattis is your co-host for that. How did that come about? What's your goal in Getting Hammered?
Well, speaking of media evolution, Vic Mattis and I have been friends since we were writers at a magazine together at the Weekly Standard. And he's great on mic, and he's also a person who is interested in food and wine and movies and entertainment and books, and he can talk about culture. So I wanted to have a partner doing that job that could do things other than politics, because, you know, I spend a lot of time talking about politics, but I want to sort of mix it up on other things as well. And so we do a news show, but we try to keep it good-humored. We try to keep it honest. We try to correct ourselves, and we try to have a good time while we're doing it. I do think there is a market for news that doesn't drive your blood pressure through the roof and is keeping you informed, but is also, I don't know, having a joke or two involved. There is merit in entertaining people through all the chaos and trying to get them up to date. So that's what we attempt to do at Getting Hammered. And, you know, once every couple months, we do a taste test of cocktails because you got to be true to the name.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Normally, with Carol Markowitz, former Pulliam Fellow and former guest on this program, how long have you two known each other?
Oh, gosh, we've known each other since probably over 20 years. When we first came into the business, we were both bloggers, and we would meet at various meetups and realize, oh, we kind of have the same vibe, and we grew up together because she and I were not married when we met. Now we're both married with several children, and she's of a group of women who I wish lived closer to me, because I would so much love to parent in the same geographical region as these people, because she's so analytical, she's so smart, she has the same approach to parenting as I do, and is a great op-ed writer. If you ever want to read Carol at the New York Post and elsewhere, she's fantastic. And she also is interested in culture and parenting. And so we'll write about those things, or we'll talk about those things as well. We talked about a parent group in D.C. that blew up a couple of weeks ago because the parenting group was not active enough in its anti-ICE activism.
Uh-huh.
And so a large part of the group was like, we got to get out of here and start our own group. to which I said, let never these mom friends find me. I have a different style of mom friend, and one of whom I do normally with.
Mary Catherine Hamm with us, host of Getting Hammered and Normally. You wrote a great book about 10 years ago, a little more than 10 years ago, called End of Discussion. Are you still working to change people's minds, or do you think most of your work now is talking to people who already essentially have the same point of view you do?
I like to attempt to engage other people. I think often if somebody's very, very political, right, and is very entrenched in their views, maybe that's not the person you're going to reach. But, you know, there's a reason I go to college campuses. There's a reason I worked at CNN. I think there's value in trying to give our point of view or my point of view to people who might not otherwise encounter it. And that is because, as I tell college students often, rooms need weirdos in them. You need somebody who disagrees, or else no one's views are tested and everyone gets lazy and everyone assumes that everyone agrees with them. And that's just not the case. And it shouldn't be the case in a pluralistic republic like we have. And so I like to do that. I will say, you know, it can get exhausting if you're not engaged. I think a lot of people think of talking about politics as sort of street preaching. Like, I'm just going to yell my point of view at someone. And then at the end of that interaction, if I didn't get a conversion, then that's not a success. And it's like, let's maybe take it down a notch, right? Like, let's be youth pastors. Let's not be street preachers. And we're making connections with people. And on small things, they're going, all I'm looking to accomplish when I'm talking to someone who disagrees with me is, hey, we might agree a little bit here, and then I'm going to explain to you how we disagree, and perhaps that person will go, huh, I've never thought about it like that before. If you think about it that way, it makes it much lower stakes mm-hmm. and much more human instead of just trying to win someone to your side at every second. I also suggest to college students often to find a good friend or someone you know fairly well who disagrees with you and do a book swap or an essay swap or even just an article, whatever it is, and then agree to talk about it for 20 minutes.
That's Mary Catherine Hamm. Find her on X at MK Hammer. More with her next. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
Hi, I'm Dr. Marie Salas, owner of HealthWise Chiropractic. My focus is to help people feel better, look better, and take control of their health with a simple, life-changing plan. It starts with smarter eating choices and adding the right amount of protein to support gut health and reduce inflammation. You'll also receive weekly accountability coaching, a free guide, and a complimentary consultation with me, Dr. Marie Salas. Ready to feel your best? Call or text 530-227-3984.
Get ready for spring with Master Gardeners at Readying Your Garden, March 28th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Shasta College, building 4,000 and 4,500. Choose three 40-minute sessions on topics like composting, garden bugs, seeds, and starting plants from cutting. Bring a soil sample for on-site analysis and healthy cuttings for a plant swap. Cost is only $5 for materials and seeds. For more information, email mastergardener@shastacollege.edu or call 530-242-2219.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Auto Body. You've been in an accident with your vehicle. You call your insurance. The first thing they do is tell you where to go to get an estimate and repairs. Well, tell them where to go. And come see us at Coachmaster. They're sending you to their discount repair shop to get the cheapest repair possible. This is not in your best interest. You have the right to choose Coachmaster to do your repairs. All we need is your claim number and we can handle the entire process. At Coachmaster, we don't repair your vehicle for the insurance company. We repair it for you. We use quality parts and products to ensure the highest quality repairs. Your vehicle will be returned to a pre-loss condition. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry. Remember Coachmaster on East Side Road. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Hear ye good folk, you are cordially invited to the Shasta Renaissance and Fantasy Fair Memorial Day weekend, Saturday, May 23rd from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Sunday, May 24th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Anderson Fairgrounds at 1890 Briggs Street. Watch knights fight for their honor in armored combat. Enjoy lively Celtic and folk music. Feast like royalty and shop handcrafted treasures from artisans far and wide. Tickets are just $17 for adults, $15 for youth, 11 to 17, and kids 10 and under get in free. Get yours now at Eventbrite and skip the lines. The Shasta Renaissance and Fantasy Fair Memorial Day weekend, Saturday, May 23rd from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Sunday, May 24th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Anderson Fairgrounds. Huzzah!
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Bertram, joined by Mary Catherine Hamm, find her on X at MK Hammer, host of the Getting Hammered and Normally podcasts. Mary Catherine, that book End of Discussion, co-written with Guy Benson. The subhead was How the Left Makes America Less Free and Less Fun, and the idea of this outrage industry. Noah Rothman over at National Review has an ongoing feature now that he calls The War on Fun, and has written an essay for the magazine about that. I think back to 2024, and I wonder if it was an inflection point on this exact point, meaning people started realizing, wait, you're actively trying to make my life worse in different ways. Lower standard of living, less fun, I have to worry about this, I can't tell a joke, can I laugh at that joke? All of these policies and prescriptions are making my life worse.
Yeah, I think people felt that. I think there was a period of time between 2020 and 23, especially, when people were being told things that were sort of obviously absurd,
mm-hmm.
like that two-year-olds should be wrestled into masks for an entire school day, or that seven-year-olds should be on Zoom for an entire school day and that would be okay for them, or that boys can be girls and girls can be boys, and criminals should all be let out, and that will make actually everyone safer. I mean, it's just they were patently absurd things that you were being told, but you were also being told, if you think these absurd things are absurd, or you try to argue against them at all, there's something wrong with you.
Mm-hmm.
You should be an outcast in society. And that was the part that really got people, and sort of the enforced speech, like silence is violence, which is why, by the way, that it's hard to find a candidate who didn't say all these things,
yes.
because they told them silence
is
violence.
You had to say something, yeah.
So yeah, I think there was a revolt against that was quite delayed. I thought after 2020 that the comeuppance would come quickly, and it didn't. It took a couple of years for people to metabolize and go, wait a second, what are we doing here? And I'm still surprised how far it got. But Donald Trump ended up being the backlash. Once again, it sort of embodied in a person.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think there were cultural gains from that, of a bunch of people realizing, oh, I guess we can't do this 2020 thing anymore.
Are you encouraged by anything in particular that you see happening in the media today? We've talked here in the department about the Washington Post or the op-ed page shifting its strategy and shifting its vision and mission. Of course, Barry Weiss at CBS is trying new things. Are you encouraged by maybe a few things out in the media landscape?
Yeah, I think first of all, I don't have rose-colored glasses about the old days with three networks and three major newspapers would tell you everything. I think that was a bad way of doing things, and it was biased then. The fractured nature of media makes it harder to figure out what's going on sometimes, but you also have access to, oh, I don't know, the entirety of a speech that mm-hmm. would have been translated through the AP in the past, right? So you can go listen to that, and you have to make yourself do those things sometimes. But I do like the whole heterodox crew that was put together by Barry Weiss at the Free Press. I love, like, the David Zweigs of the world who reported on masks and actually sort of fought his way into some mainstream coverage of that and got that news out. People who are of the left but criticize the left's sort of moral outrages or trends. Jesse Singel is another one who, look, I'm not going to agree with him on, like, probably 60% of issues. But when he's reporting responsibly on gender transition and science and how this is being done in hospitals and in schools or as public policy, I want to listen to that. So I think that whole crew being given platforms and having been successful, whether they're center, right, or left, makes me happy. And I think those are people who have earned some trust, particularly if you see it on the right or the left, someone who goes after their own side and takes some slings and arrows from that side,
mm-hmm.
not on everything, because there are some people who go after their own side as a profession.
Uh-huh.
But I think when someone's taken slings and arrows in that way, they can be more trustworthy because, you know, they're standing up for something.
There are discussions and conversations and in some places actually laws that have been passed by politicians to address the decline in journalism. So via tax credits, or we'll help you hire someone, where there's actual, you know, money flowing from the government into the world of journalism. Does journalism need saving in that way?
The problem is that journalism is populated by a bunch of people who don't understand how free markets work and don't like free markets. So that's part of it. I think a lot of the economic incentives, unfortunately, are bad and don't align with creating necessarily good journalism. Because if you're doing fan service and base service, you're not necessarily creating good journalism. That's why I think, you know, Barry Weiss has ended up at somewhere like CBS and gotten the nod, is because she creates things that are clickable but not crazy. And that is the sort of sweet spot. I think the Bezos Washington Post went too far in the fan service of the left during Trump 1 and then didn't know what to do with itself afterwards. So you have to find some sort of sustainable model. I don't think getting government money is the sustainable model. I know that our friends on the left believe that government money is, you know, inexhaustible and lasts forever, but that's not actually how that works. If you look at NPR, for instance, and Corporation for Public Broadcasting at the moment, they are learning, oh, maybe we should have made our own way, right? Now, how you make your own way is pretty tricky, because it's hard to get people to pay for news. What you have to get them to pay for instead is recipes and games, which is what the New York Times has done, and actually is a return to the old style of newspaper. Because when you picked up a newspaper in the past, you were buying a package to which news was attached.
Sure.
But you were probably there for the comics and the classifieds and
the circular with the
grocery coupons in it. And so there have to be these packages that can go together that create something that is at least medium sustainable. And actually, some of journalism is going to be a charity project by rich people. And some of that's okay, too. Or donors, donor sustained.
You've been with our students in the class for about a week. What have you learned from them so far?
So we've been talking a bit about media literacy and how you think through these things, because, you know, in coming into teaching a class, I thought, you know, maybe what to do is think about, when I'm overwhelmed, what is the way that I sort through information? Because I think that moving forward, for anyone who wants to be engaged, that's going to be the question, is how do I decide what is important? And how do I filter through what is trustworthy and what is not? So I've been talking to them about how they consume news. And the thing I've learned about people younger than I am, and particularly college students and a little bit older, is that a lot of their news consumption is incidental, and they need to make it intentional if they want to keep doing this. And I get it. Some of my stuff is incidental, too. My algorithm gets filled with hockey when I get mad about the hockey story and click on a bunch of hockey things, right? So you have to be aware of that, and you have to learn how to correct for it. And it takes energy. But I think that's the main thing, is like, we all are in a world in which the algorithm wants to push us into passive consumption, and you have to make it active.
Yeah. Barry Catherine Hamm, find her on X at MK Hammer. She's the host of Getting Hammered, the podcast, and Normally the podcast with Carol Markowitz. Find her writing in various places as well. And we thank her for being here on campus, our Pulliam Fellow for this term. She's giving a public lecture and also teaching many of our journalism students these couple of weeks. Barry Catherine Hamm, thanks so much for joining us here on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Thank you so much. It's a blast to be here with these promising students. They really are great.
Up next, we talk with Dr. Benjamin Beyer, Chairman and Associate Professor of Education here at Hillsdale College, and your teacher for the new online course, Classical Logic and Rhetoric. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Are you looking to take your business to the next level? Don't let staffing issues or HR red tape stop you from growing. The most successful businesses are those that have mastered their HR and staffing needs, and they have done it with O2 Employment Services. Finding qualified help is harder and more expensive than ever. HR regulations are getting more and more complex and confusing. For over 20 years, O2 has been providing the foundation successful businesses need to grow, assisting employers with their HR, payroll, workers' comp, benefits, and staffing. Partnering with O2 gives you the expertise you need to manage your business and employees. Outsourcing your HR and staffing is no longer a luxury. It's a necessity for successful businesses, and it is more affordable than you think. Let O2 show you how we can help you reduce your HR complexities, hire the right talent, and get back to growing your business. Call O2 today at 530-223-4674 or visit us online at o2es.com.
Looking for a great way to spend your Sunday? Come down to Wind River Resort and Casino and indulge in our Sunday brunch. Available from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. End your weekend with us and get this all-you-can-eat brunch for $45 with a River Club card or $55 without. Kids under 10 for just $15. Gather your friends and family and enjoy our wide variety of specialty entrees, perfect for a relaxing Sunday morning or afternoon. For menu or complete details, visit windriver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. Find your moments at Wind River Resort and Casino.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Hi, this is Carrie Grawl. This season marks a new chapter for Organic Pilates, a rebirth of sorts in a new, larger downtown space. Alongside it, we want to introduce you to Harmony, a lifestyle boutique created as a natural extension of how we move and live with intention. We want to invite you in. Harmony and Organic Pilates, now open in downtown Reading. We're located at 1264 California Street in between Curated and Theory Coffee. We can't wait to see you.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Welcome back to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertram. Be sure to check us out on X at Hillsdale Radio. We're also at HC Podcasts for the Hillsdale College Podcast Network. We're joined by Dr. Ben Beyer. He is Chairman and Associate Professor of Education here at Hillsdale College. Also, your teacher for the brand new online course, Classical Logic and Rhetoric. You can find it at hillsdale.edu/new course. Dr. Beyer, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Good to talk to you once again. Also, under contract, we should point out for a textbook on the subject, Logic with Classical Academic Press. Now, here at Hillsdale College, every student is required to take Logic and Rhetoric. Why is that course considered so essential, not just academically, but of course to being fully human?
Oh, thanks, Scott. It's great to be with you. I think that Logic and Rhetoric is important to being fully human because all of us use words. We're all ever, debating about right and wrong in the assembly, as Aristotle would have it. It's just in our nature. But we need to study these things because while we naturally move the tongue, use words, we have to become who we are, as Pindar put it, that we have a potential to use these things well, but we have to grow into it.
Now, when people hear logic, they might imagine
complicated symbols, abstract philosophy. What's logic really, and how do we use it already in our everyday life?
Yes, so we use logic constantly. Anytime you use the word because, you're giving a reason why. And one of the ways in the course that I talk about logic is it's the art and science of giving reasons. So logic is a little bit like the slow motion replay that you slow down and put in the freeze frame and see what is the reason being offered and is it sufficient evidence? And then hopefully having watched the game film, you can go out and be more logical the next time around.
You talk in the course about slowing down, examining how we think, the acts of apprehension and judgment and reasoning. Why is that slowing down, that instant replay, as you point out, so important in our fast-moving culture?
I think there's a growing consensus among thoughtful people. I think there's also a growing body of scientific evidence that we're distracted, we're harried, we're lonely, we're unhappy. And so I think that we've got to find ways to unplug. I think, you know, some of us have this experience when the lights go out. Mm-hmm. Suddenly, you know, we have nothing to do but play a board game or gather around the wood-burning stove. And there's something very human about slowing down. And so I hope that the study of logic can not only make us thoughtful out in that harried world, but help us gain an ability to rest, to be, to think, not just always ever be doing, doing, doing.
There's an aspect of that in which we forget what it was like until lights go out, which happens, you know, somewhat frequently here in Hillsdale. We're in the middle of a whole bunch of nothing around here. But you do, you forget, oh, if I flip that switch, actually nothing will happen. I'm so used to something happening. And there are board games, books, ways that you then direct your attention immediately, these things that I had not considered in months, perhaps, that are available to me.
Yeah, absolutely. That's so. And so there's so many good things that maybe we've lost track of, you know, gathering around the piano or grabbing a book. And ultimately, I think, you know, this kind of space helps us really reconnect with ourselves, mm-hmm. with others, and even with the other, with the divine.
Dr. Ben Beyer with us. He's chairman and associate professor of education here at Hillsdale College, teacher for the new Hillsdale online course, Classical Logic and Rhetoric. Find it at hillsdale.edu/new course, hillsdale.edu/new course. One of the key distinctions that you make is between validity and soundness in arguments. It kind of sounds the same to me. Explain that difference in simple terms, why it matters in our debates and social medias and even family conversations.
Yeah, great question. So Aristotle discovers that in categorical syllogisms, you can disentangle form and matter so that we'll take two arguments. Every dog is a cat. Every tree is a dog. Therefore, every tree is a cat. On the other hand, every tree is living. Every oak is a tree. Therefore, every oak is living. So actually, underneath those words, underneath that content is the same form.
Mm-hmm.
And so in form, that is in validity, the conclusion follows necessarily in both of those arguments. But the first is absurd, right? The first is valid but false.
Uh-huh.
The second is valid and true. So if it's valid and true, it's sound. So some people make arguments that aren't even valid, and so it's good to be able to discover whether it's valid in that form and that structure or underpinning. But then I think where it can get really interesting is where you've got competing valid arguments, mm-hmm. that force you then into a consideration of soundness. You know, are the premises, are the reasons why here true or not true? And that really can then, I think, open up dialogue and debate and hopefully understanding in the pursuit of the truth.
We're constantly being persuaded or attempted to be persuaded by advertisements, by news and entertainment, politicians, social media posts. How does studying logic, perhaps in this course, and rhetoric change the way that someone listens to and can evaluate those messages?
Yeah, we are just inundated with messages from so many different people and places and things. And so I think that having a background in logic and rhetoric really can make one thoughtful, that you have the advertisement on TV and it's telling you buy this because, right, giving a reason why, because it will make you happy. Mm-hmm. And then you can, well, that could be put into a valid form, but will this really make me happy or not? So we can be thoughtful in sort of uncovering the arguments that are everywhere. And then also, you know, another thing that will happen is we'll often have our emotions stirred, and we talk in the course about how that's not inherently bad, mm-hmm. but we sometimes, you know, a politician or an advertisement, right, stirs up our emotions to cloud our judgment. And so to just feel yourself being stirred, you can become aware, sort of, okay, someone's stirring me here, but now is my judgment being sharpened by the emotion I'm feeling, or instead is my judgment being clouded? And so we can become really able to thoughtfully receive and respond to these constant discourses that are surrounding us and addressed to us.
I talk to my students about their use of social media, especially because we have so many journalism students who are like, how do you get your news? Well, I like to look at my social media feeds, and people are putting news in there. And I talk often about that need to verify, to use your logic to know whether this is true or false. But developing that sense that I can trust this person, or I can trust this information, or that doesn't look right, I really got to go and I got to find a different source, I got to make sure that's true. Is that a skill that can be developed? Is that something that is tied into this discussion about logic?
Oh, I think that's a great question. And I think that logic and rhetoric really can help us here, because rhetoric is so attentive to matters of ethos, that the person writing, the person speaking, is always expressing his or her character. And we're always either thinking, okay, this is a trustworthy person or not. But of course, people can falsely present their mm-hmm. character. They can present who they're not. So if you know how ethos works, if you know that someone is trying to indirectly present intelligence or good morals, then you can push on that and say, is this person intelligent? You know, is this person thoughtful? Is this person virtuous? So that rhetoric helps you receive information from unknown sources more mm-hmm. thoughtfully, and hopefully maybe even encourages you to break out of your feed
yeah.
and be a little bit more willing to leave the echo chamber and find many different sources that you can thoughtfully sift.
We'll continue in a moment with Dr. Ben Beyer from Hillsdale's Education Department. Classical Logic and Rhetoric is the new Hillsdale College online course. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
At Plumas Bank, we understand business because we've grown alongside you in the communities we call home. We're proud to grow in Redding and excited to welcome Anderson and Red Bluff to the Plumas Bank family. With our new locations, your business gains expanded lending powers, more convenient locations, and more than 40 years of trusted community banking experience. Plumas Bank, building stronger communities. Learn more at plumasbank.com.
Hi, I'm Steve Coburn, proud owner of Country Air Pet Resort here in Redding. I invite you to come and take a tour of my revitalized pet resort. Our goal here at Country Air is to make sure your pet can relax and have a healthy, happy time away from home. With friendly, caring people, lots of fresh air and exercise, good healthy food, and plenty of pampering. There are no small cages here. What we offer are large temperature-controlled runs and spacious exercise yards that are great for fun and socialization. We even offer daycare. Cats are treated to a two-room apartment plus playtime in our playroom. So stop by and take a tour of the best. You and your pet will want to come back to Country Air Pet Resort, where our motto is, we treat your pets as if they were our own. Country Air Pet Resort, 549-3335.
Planning a wedding? Celebrate the moment with a free dinner for two at Odell Craft Barbecue. With our slow-smoked brisket that melts in your mouth, even Texans say it's some of the best they've ever had. We cater events and weddings of all sizes, from intimate gatherings to receptions of 1,000 guests. We make delicious food and great service, so you can stay present with the people who matter. Odell Craft Barbecue, real wood, real fire, real flavor. Book your free tasting at ReddingBarbecue.com. Again, book your free tasting at ReddingBarbecue.com.
Get ready for the day with the Sue McClain News Hour on KCNR. Your weekday weather forecast sets you up to seize any moment, rain or shine. Brought to you by the Queen of Dragons, a value-driven local spot offering premium flour, edibles, and concentrates with free delivery to Shasta Lake. Their Flower Friday special lasts all weekend till supplies run out. Hurry over! Check them out on X, Facebook, or thequeenofdragons.com. KCNR keeps you in the loop every day.
Ready to turn your dreams into reality? At Simpson University, we offer a private Christian education that enriches your academic journey with faith and purpose. Whether you're pursuing your undergraduate degree, completing your degree, or advancing through graduate studies, our dynamic programs, personalized mentorship, and vibrant community are here to support you. Discover how Simpson University can help you achieve your goals and grow spiritually. Visit simpsonu.edu today to learn more. Simpson University, where your potential is limitless.
We're back on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertram. We continue with Dr. Benjamin Beyer. He's your teacher for the new Hillsdale College online course, Classical Logic and Rhetoric. Find it at hillsdale.edu/new course. Dr. Beyer, we shift over to rhetoric, the art of persuasion. Why isn't it enough just to have a true argument? Why does it matter so much the way we present that argument?
This is a question that thinkers and practitioners have been trying to wrestle with for a long time. There's a pre-Socratic philosopher. So Socrates dies in 399 BC, but someone who precedes him talks about the fist of logic and the palm of rhetoric. And so logic proceeds with fist-like precision.
Mm-hmm. You know,
it's valid or it's invalid. There's not much gray area there. But then that's sort of done in the abstract, not in a manner that's addressed to a person. But once it becomes interpersonal, most people don't like to be pummeled with a fist. Most people like to be, you know, respected in their dignity. So that we need to open that fist, not leaving logic behind, but taking those logical goods and with finesse actually stand towards others in their dignity, in their humanity. And so rhetoric is able to give us that additional component that we're not just considering the true or false in the abstract, but we're actually living in community with others and trying to talk to one another.
So when I talk to my students about rhetoric, I try to give a little thumbnail idea. So you tell me if this is good or bad or I need to improve myself. Look, when we talk rhetoric, we want to teach you, want to help you how to think about things, how to construct your arguments, how to construct your thoughts, how to be persuasive. And then I always say how to be compelling. And that's, I mean that in both ways or two ways. Compelling meaning the person listening to you wants to listen to you, feels compelled to continue listening to you, but also perhaps they're convinced to do something, to change their behavior or change or adjust their way of thinking.
I think that's great.
Outstanding.
The tradition of rhetoric oftentimes involves thinking about these different canons of discovering arguments, ordering them, stylizing them, and much thought is given to some of these very matters that you're talking about, that you've got to do something in your conclusion, thinking about the way you order what you do to really get people, you know, up out of their seat, compelled to go act. And that might be a time, right, having laid down more logical arguments earlier now to stir an emotion, mm-hmm. because it's one thing to have somebody just nod the head in agreement, but then to actually go do something, that's a much bigger ask.
Yeah. Yeah. In this course, you walk through five classical canons of rhetoric. So invention, arrangement, style, memory, and of course, delivery. Do you think that there's one of those in particular that some of our modern communicators are neglecting?
Ooh, I think that memes may neglect almost all of them. But I suppose if one stands out, it would be memory. There's just in spoken rhetoric, and rhetoric can be written or spoken, but in spoken rhetoric, there's no longer an audience expectation that someone memorize. It's the age of the teleprompter.
I've seen not just like wedding speeches, but I have now seen professional speakers holding cell phone in front of their face as they deliver a lecture, deliver a speech. Ridiculous.
And I think this really invites someone who aspires to be a good rhetorician to sort of, this is a low-hanging fruit, right? You can really distinguish yourself from everybody else. If everyone's going one way, then it stands out if you actually do deliver from memory. To take just a small example, I was introducing a new colleague at a little beginning of the year get together, and I didn't have notes, and I said the person received his PhD from here and had published this book, and just listed off three or four things that the person had done, and asked everyone at the reception to welcome him. And someone came up to me afterwards. I was so struck that you didn't speak with notes. So I think it really can be compelling to an audience when there's no expectation that you operate from memory if you're able to do so well.
Dr. Ben Beyer with us, your teacher for classical logic and rhetoric, hillsdale.edu/new-course. Inside, you draw on figures, historical figures, Aristotle, Cicero, Lincoln, Churchill, Martin Luther King Jr. What do our greatest speakers in history, what do they all understand about persuasion?
That's a great question. I think that, you know, each of the people you named has a profound understanding of the human being and a deep grasp of language and a firm hold on some subject matter. So Plato's Socrates would say that the rhetorician has knowledge of the thing spoken about, knowledge of souls, knowledge of the audience, and then the ability to be a guide to bridge the gap, to actually take that which you know over to the audience with knowledge of their subjective disposition. And so there's a certain kind of way in which one has to know a subject and be a psychologist and be a guide to do things well. And Dr. King and Churchill just jump out in the list that you provided. King is able to connect with listeners to inspire them to do a difficult thing, right? To nonviolently love and stand against segregation. And Churchill is able to really, within, you know, a hard time thinking about the Second World War, he uses punchy little short words with an awareness that that's just the thing to inspire courage and resolve in a difficult moment. So that, but each of those, Reverend King and Churchill just had this ability to take the thing they knew and size up the audience and find just the right verbal resources. Mm-hmm.
For our listeners who don't see themselves as debaters, don't see themselves in the public square, they're not speaking all the time, how might this course still improve their everyday life?
I may be at risk of repeating some of the things I said when we got started, but logic and rhetoric are traditionally considered liberal arts, part of the arts of the trivium, the arts of language, and we're all language users. So to study logic and rhetoric is to become a better user of language and a more thoughtful receiver of language. And even if you're just addressing yourself or addressing someone one-on-one, you know, not in a debate, not in a public speaking scenario, to study these things is going to make you better, is going to give you greater facility. But that's leaning into the usefulness that you'll communicate better one-on-one, you'll be clearer. But liberal arts are also liberal. They're also useless or good for their own sake. And so it's not just, you know, it's going to help you as an employee or at the town hall or whatever the case might be. It's additionally, or maybe even primarily, actualizing this unique potential in us. We're becoming more human when we study these things, even if we never go out and use them.
So how do you hope people receive your rhetoric in the course, Classical Logic and Rhetoric? What do you hope to compel them to do?
Well, I hope that those who complete the course will learn about making arguments, making definitions, and taking all of that and really giving it as a gift to another, really communicating to an audience. And of course, it's something that when one studies it, not only does he or she become better at these things, him or herself, it's also then the case that one's able to thoughtfully receive and weigh the definitions, the arguments, the persuasions of others. And as we've noted repeatedly in this conversation, we're just flooded with such arguments today. So I think it's an occasion to really strengthen oneself, to receive thoughtfully what others give, and to better give yourself.
Dr. Ben Beyer, Chairman and Associate Professor of Education here at Hillsdale College, also your teacher for the new online course, Classical Logic and Rhetoric. You can find that at hillsdale.edu/new-course, and writing a textbook on logic, forthcoming from Classical Academic Press. Dr. Ben Beyer, thanks so much for joining us here on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Thank you, Scott.
That will wrap up this edition of the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. Our thanks to Mary Catherine Hamm and Dr. Benjamin Beyer. Remember, you can hear new episodes every week on this station. You also can find extended versions of some of our interviews or listen anytime to the podcast. Find it at podcast.hillsdale.edu or wherever you get your audio. Until next week, I'm Scott Bertram, and this has been the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
The Shasta College Art Gallery presents a Japanese woodblock print exhibition featuring works from the traditional ukiyo-e period to contemporary artists. Explore beautifully crafted prints with many pieces available for purchase to support Shasta College Student Show Awards. Join us for the closing reception on April 16th at noon in Building 300 during Shasta College Cultural Day. The gallery is open Monday through Thursday 8 to 5 and Fridays 8 to noon. More information can be found at shastacollege.edu/events.
The only real estate agent I trust right here in Redding and Shasta County is Josh Barker with Josh Barker Real Estate. Now, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Sean.
For homeowners that are planning to list a property for sale, when should they start preparing and what key steps should they prioritize during the initial stages?
You know, that's actually a really good question. We've learned that the most successful sellers will actually get started early. So they'll normally meet with us long before spring and really identify what types of home improvements they might want to consider so they can maximize their value when they bring the home to the market. We'll also discuss things like marketing strategy, what types of things we want to do to maximize the benefit when we start promoting it up and down the state and across the country. And the final thing we'll do is have a broad stroke conversation around price. Just knowing that we'll actually refine that price at the very end, just before we get live, so we can maximize every penny possible.
Go online to readinghomes.com or just Google Josh Barker.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Join me, Dr. Lauren, on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. behind the pink mic for breast cancer conversations about prevention and diagnosis to healing stories and words from expert guests. Behind the Pink Mic is proudly sponsored by Sizzle's Kitchen and Swell Endeavors. Tune in with Dr. Lauren every Tuesday at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and streaming at KCNR1460.com. Behind the Pink Mic, let's talk healing, hope, and community.
You. The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.